This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject of destined to win in life. Destined to win in life. It's funny, you know, watching NFL Live all through the week and those kind of things. Okay, here comes the drum line. So give them a big hand. They did an amazing, amazing job. Amen. And so thank God for them. So proud of them. Amen. All right. And so watching NFL Live, if you're a football fan, you probably watch SportsCenter, NFL Live, you know, when you had the opportunity. And it's so funny when you hear them, they're telling stories of the different players on the different teams. And they're talking about, you know, Jalen Hurts, how he got benched when he was at Alabama. And then, you know, in his story, how he came back around. And so he's destined to win, right? And then they talk about Mahomes and, you know, his whole thing. And Mahomes really publicly talks about Jesus and those kind of things. So some guy's like, he's destined to win, you know. And so, you know, somebody's not going to win the game tonight. But you can win in the game of life, amen. And so, but I was thinking about this, but because we belong to Jesus and as children of God, every one of us in life is destined to win. That no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter the situation, no matter how tough it is, you're going to get through what you're going through because you are destined to win. You have been made in his image. You have been made in his likeness. He's given you dominion. He's given you authority. You've been made with the tough stuff. You are destined to win. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 14th verse says, now thanks be unto God, watch this, which not sometimes, but what class always causes us to triumph where? In Christ. And so I've got to do it in Christ, in Jesus. You always hear me say, if you do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God results, right? And so that's the key. If you do it God's way, you'll get God results. And he says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We become living epistles. We walk around as a testimony of God's goodness in the earth. And so regardless of the situation that you may be facing today, whether you're in this room or online, you have to understand that you can win with the hand you've been dealt. If we're not careful, we've been dealt a tough hand. And the enemy will try to give you every excuse to make you think why you can't win because this happened as a child and this happened, you know, when I was in college and this traumatic thing happened. And he'll always try to back you up and think that, you know, you can't win. But you have to understand that God is with you and you cannot fail. That God is with you and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you are going to win. You are a winner and you are not a loser. You got it. Did you hear what I said? You are a winner and you are not a loser. And so, you know, you must be willing to go through process. Everybody say process. Yeah, sometimes we don't like going through process because process takes time and process can be slow and process can cause you to do things that you might not necessarily want to do. And so, but you have to be willing to go through process in this fast-paced society that we live in. How many know that process has gone out the window? I mean, there was a time where, you know, grandma used to make homemade pies and, you know, used to make bread from scratch, you got. But scratch is obsolete. Scratch has been scratched. Like, people don't do those kind of things anymore. Now we have, you know, drive-through windows and we've got cell phones. Does anybody remember going to the phone booth to have to call somebody? You got it. We didn't have all these phones, and these phones have everything on them. They're computers, and they have cameras on them, and, you know, you can FaceTime somebody in another country, you know, and so technology, and we thank God for technology, but the more we move into it, the more impatient we become. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. You got it. I mean, but you know, the Burger King mentality, they used to say a commercial years ago, have it your way right away. But if you're going to get the gold watch in life, you must be willing to go through some things. If you're going to get the gold watch, so to speak, in life, you must be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier, knowing that you are going to get through whatever you're going through. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, I love this passage. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. And so you've got to understand, when you're in something, the enemy will make you think you're the only somebody who has ever been through it and you're not going to make it, and that's not true. The writer just teaches us that you are not the only person that's ever been through this. Watch this. And if they got through it, how many know you're going to get through it? Right? He says, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Like, I could close the book. We could walk out of here. You got it. And just go home just having a revelation that God is never going to let you down. Well, Pastor, it was my fault. He's still not going to let you down. He'll give you the wisdom you need to get out of the situation that you're in, to open a door, to make a way. God will do whatever he has to do to help you in your life and in your situation. And so all you need to remember is what, class? We're going to act like that didn't happen. We're going to edit that part out. Because next time I'm going to say, all you need to remember, class, and you're going to say is that God will never let me down, okay? But we're not rehearsing this because we're live, all right? And but the Bible says that all you need to remember is what, class? Oh, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. Did you hear what the writer says? He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. So if you're going through it, you can handle it. You got it? No matter how tough it feels, if you're going through it, you can handle it. There's more on the inside. You got it? You know, whether it was going through, you know, boot camp for us in the military or just getting back to the gym, you know, they would teach you no pain, no gain. In Marine Corps boot camp, they told us pain was weakness leaving the body. I guess I had a lot of weakness, praise the Lord. You know, but you have to understand that even when you get to the point where you think you can't go anymore, you can. You got it? And he says he'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And you must understand that you have been engineered by God to win in life, and you can win with the hand you've been dealt. Somebody say, I can win with the hand I've been dealt. All right, so now understanding that and understanding process and understanding that it's going to be very important that we're walking by this word and that we're speaking this word and that we're acting out this word so we can see God do amazing things in my life, you're going to have to learn how to be a maximizer. You're going to have to learn how to maximize moments. You're going to have to learn how to get through some stuff and, as a believer, learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. Now, there are three kinds of people that you will meet in life, probably more than these three kinds, but for the context of this lesson, I'm going to give you three kinds. There are three kinds of people that you're going to meet. Everybody say number one. Number one, the first type of person that you'll meet is a criticizer. A criticizer. These are people that are always negative in every situation. They criticize everything. They can finally go to the nicest restaurant they've never been before, and you're taking them. They're not even paying for it. You are paying for it, but they will find something wrong. You got it? They spend more time talking about doubt and unbelief and the problem instead of confessing the promises of God. They are criticized. They criticize everything. They could come to an amazing church like this, but if you're a criticizer, you'll find something wrong with, because that balloon is not actually turned the right way. See, if they'd have turned a little bit like that, it would have looked a little bit better. Everybody say criticizers. And one thing you have to learn is you cannot be a criticizer in life. You can't start always talking about doubt and unbelief and the problem. One of the keys of faith is that we never confess the problem, but we always confess the promise, all right? Watch this. If I'm going through something, I already know I'm going through it. So it is what it is. Everybody say, it is what it is. So why in the world are you talking about it? Why are you texting folk? Why are you emailing folk? Why every time you get around someone, all you're talking about is the problem? We don't want to hear the problem because we don't want to magnify the problem, but we want to magnify the God that can solve every problem in my life. You got it? If you don't have enough money in the bank, why would you go around saying, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention? You got it? I can barely make it. Lord, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. You got it? I don't know what I'm going to do. If he don't come through, you know, by the fifth, seems we probably gonna be on the street. Lights are already out. We ain't gonna have no food tonight. Why would you talk like that? You got it? It's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be not as though they were. If you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, so regardless of the situation, when you get up, you got to get up in out of the bed with joy. Why would I get out of the bed with joy? Because this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody didn't wake up, but you woke up this morning. You got the activity of your limbs. The blood is running warm in your veins. So whether you realize it or not, you got something to be thankful for. He's giving you a brand new day with brand new mercies. So I'm not going to get up upset, you know, about a situation on the job. I'm just getting up saying it's good to be alive right about now. And God is going to perfect everything that concerns you. He's going to make the crooked places straight. He's going to work out everything for your good if you just learn how to not magnify the problem, but magnify the God who solves every problem. Amen. Everybody say criticizers. All right, and then number two, there's dramatizers. Dramatizers. These are people that they fall apart over everything. You got it? They always make things out to be more than they really are. You got it? I mean, you know, just, you know, your baby is playing football. You got it? And they hit in football. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, they hit and your baby fell. And now you're upset. See, they playing dirty. Ain't nobody playing dirty. That's what they supposed to do. You got, see, that's the problem with these coaches. See, these coaches ain't trying to keep these babies safe. And then, you know, just one thing after another. You got always, just always drama. Drama over everything. You got it? And they will call you in an attempt to get you upset over something that really doesn't matter. Can you believe that Pastor mentioned that on stage? When I was growing up, my pastor would never mention that on stage. You got just drop, and the person has no idea what you're talking about. You understand? And so we live in an era where, thank God, we have something called caller ID, where you can manage how much drama you want in your life. You see it? Oh, no, praise the Lord. You got it. You know, because you'll be happy and everything will be going your way. And even if it's not going your way, you got faith that, hey, this is the day the Lord has made. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. And then you see your phone ring and you grab it. So, oh, not today, devil. Nope, not today. Everybody say dramatizers. Yeah, so there's criticizers and there's dramatized, but then there are number three maximizers, and that's what God has called us to be. These are people who choose to face life situations with a spiritual perspective and spiritual principles because they know that the word of God will overcome every obstacle so that they can walk in God's best. These are people that know how to take a licking and keep on ticking. These are people who are going to speak the word of God, no matter what it feels like. These are people who are going to church not just on sunny days, but on rainy days and on tough days and on days when their body doesn't feel so good, that they press their way because they know that there is a pressing in the blessing. Come on, somebody. These are people who choose to win with the hand they've been dealt. Everybody say maximizers. And so you got to be a maximizer. You got it. Don't be a criticizer. Don't be a dramatizer, but be a maximizer. Now, God designed you to live a good life. We see this all through Scripture. I mean, all through John 10 and 10. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The one I gave them is Ephesians 2 and 10 in the Amplified. And I'm just pushing to get you to understand that God has already designed for you to live an amazing life. Ephesians 2 and 10 in the Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork. We are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, you got it, that we may do those good works. So God has called us to do good works in the earth. And so you see our ministry, every month we're doing community things. Every month we're making a difference. Every week when you come in and you leave, you should feel better when you leave than when you came. And it doesn't mean when you came you felt bad. Come on, somebody. but you ought to feel better. Hello, somebody. But if pastor's up here criticizing everything, you got it. If pastor's up here dramatizing everything, you got it. You can't wait till you can get up out of here so you can go get in an environment where you can, you know, get a breath of fresh air. But church is supposed to be a breath of fresh air. Why, you know, pastor, you know, I noticed you never fuss. Why would I fuss on stage? The gospel is not bad news. The gospel is good news that Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, has come to remove your burdens and destroy your yokes by the power of God. That's good news. You don't have a problem that God can't solve. That's good news. You don't have a situation he can't fix. That's good news. You don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. That's good news. The gospel is good news. And Jesus says that we are to do those works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he already prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the what class? The what? That's not pastor, that's the Bible. It's the will of God for you to live the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you to live. So once I have an understanding of the word of God that he wants me to live a good life, I can now release faith for it that, Father, I thank you that you're causing me to live the good life. I'm just walking in your plan for my life. And the good life starts with joy, and it starts with peace in my life. It starts with me being content and having an attitude of gratitude for all the wonderful things that you've already done. God, I know you're going to do more down the road, but I just thank you for what you've already done. I thank you for the doors you've already opened. I thank you for the ways that you've already made. I thank you for how you always protect my family. Like, sometimes you got to learn and how to just stop and thank God for the things he's already done. You got it? But you have been designed to live a good life. From the beginning of the earth, God has had you on his mind. From the beginning of the earth, he's not too busy running this universe that he's not concerned about the intricate details of your life. God is concerned about you. God is concerned about the things that concern you. God is concerned about the things that keep you up at night. God is concerned about the things that you won't talk to anybody about because you don't know how they'll respond. But thank God you can always go to Jesus and he'll never change his mind when you talk to him about whatever you talk to him about. You got it? And so he's already mapped out your life for you. We see that all through scripture. One of the well-known ones is Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. So God knew Jeremiah would be what he was going to be and declared he was going to be what he was going to be. You got it? In spite of the challenges that God knew he would go through. So God knew Jeremiah was going to go through some stuff, but he said, no, in spite of what he's going to go through, you got it, he's still going to be somebody great. And in your life, regardless of the obstacles you face and the challenges you face, you've got to know that God has already declared you're in from your beginning, and God already knows what he's going to do in your life and in your situation because you are destined to win. Somebody say, I'm destined to win. Yeah, you've been made of the tough stuff, you know. You've been made in his image. You've been made in his likeness. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. That's KJV. On the screen, we've got NLT. For I know the plan. So KJV, you know, they show me that God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. So watch this. So God has you on his mind. God has you, all right? You know, now I don't believe in being selfish, but just for this millisecond, just be selfish and don't even worry about the person to the left or to the right. Just realize God has you on his mind. God wants to help you. God loves you. God is going to take care of you. God is going to perfect everything that concerns you. God is going to help you get through this situation that you're going through. God is going to make sure he pushes off depression for you, and that he pushes away fear for you, and that he pushes away anxiety for you. And he's going to make sure that joy comes to you, and strength comes to you, and grace comes to you, because God cares about you. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. You got it? Amen. All right. And so God has you on his mind, and he has big plans for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And so you've got to get in faith for his favor to show up in your life. You got it? And so that you can experience some God did it moments. You got it? Everybody say, God did it. God did it. Was it last Easter when we gave you the God Did It t-shirt? How many still wear their God Did It t-shirt? Okay, a whole bunch. Okay, that's good. That's good. You still wear your God Did It t-shirt. I still wear my God Did It t-shirts, and every day I'm believing for them God Did It moments in my life. You got it? Everybody say God did it. I heard a preacher, and he was preaching, and he told this story, and he said, it was summertime, and there was a older lady who lived in a house, and she needed some things, and she didn't have the groceries she needed, and she needed some other different things, and so she knelt down by the couch, and she began to pray for the things that she needed, and asked God to do it for him, and she didn't know it's summertime, she don't have AC, windows are up, and those kind of things. Her neighbor, you gotta heard it, all right? Now, her neighbor really didn't believe in God. And so her neighbor goes down to the grocery store and he gets a whole bunch of groceries and he comes and he puts it on her front door, rings the doorbell, and then goes and hides behind the bushes. And then she opens the door and she sees it and she says, God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. And then all of a sudden he jumps out and says, ha ha, I got you, because he didn't really believe in God. He says, I heard you praying, and because I don't believe in God, I just want you to know that God didn't do anything. I'm the one who went and bought the groceries and brought them to you, so I just want you to know that God didn't do that. I did that. You know what she said? She kept looking at them groceries, and she said, God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. He said, don't you understand, lady? God didn't do anything. I, with my own money, swiped my own card, because I finally wanted you to understand, because you're always witnessing to me and always telling me about these all things. And then watch this. She didn't change her composure. She kept a smile on her face. She said, I thank God, because God did it. God did it. God did it. And he made the devil pay for it. You got to believe for some God did it moments in your life. I don't care who pays for it. I don't care if the devil pays for it. I don't care if my haters pay for it. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I don't care how it comes my way, as long as I didn't do anything wrong. God is going to be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that always supplies. Somebody say, God did it. Now give the Lord a big hand praise in the room. I'm believing for some God did a moments in your life this week. I'm believing for some breakthrough in your life this week. I'm believing for some supernatural moments, some breakthrough moments, some God did a moments, some you couldn't hardly believe. The only way I believe is because I know that God is real. Like, I'm talking about some manifested, supernatural, miraculous things happening in your life this week. And the Bible says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. But you got to be in faith, and you got to stop talking doubt and unbelief, but you got to start talking life. Matter of fact, start looking at those situations in your life that might be dead and might be dormant, and start speaking to it and start causing it to come to pass in your life. You got to start speaking to them children, start speaking over that husband, start speaking over that wife, start speaking over them grandchildren, start speaking over them bills. Come on, somebody. Start speaking over that mortgage so it can be paid off. Start speaking over them car notes so you can walk in debt freedom and impact people's lives in an amazing way. So God did it, and he made the devil pay for it. Yes, indeed. Somebody say, God did it. Yeah, that's why you can never be ashamed to talk about the goodness of God. You can never be ashamed to talk about the goodness of Jesus. And don't get caught up in this culture, because this culture doesn't mind even saying the word God, but they don't want to say the word Jesus anymore. But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got it. He is the Prince of Peace. You understand what I'm saying? And at that name, every knee is going to have to bow, and every tongue is going to have to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so never be afraid of the name of Jesus, because there's power in his name, and there's healing in his name, and there's breakthrough in his name. Something about the name of Jesus. My brother said it's the sweetest name I know. I can't sing it. Y'all know I can't sing, all right? All right, so that was all my introduction. So my last 4 minutes and 58 seconds, let me give you my 3 points. But I actually built it this way where my introduction would be most of the lesson. So, because I know you're getting something out of this. All right. Three simple points as I close. Three simple, these are really, even though they're 3 points, they're kind of 3 closing points, all right? Everybody say point number one. I want to give you three things you must have to win in life. Three things you must have to win in life. Number one, a God conscience. A God conscience. It's about having a constant realization that God is with you. All right? God is with you and you cannot fail. God is with you and you cannot fail. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad the situation is. God is with you and you cannot fail. Say, God is with me. I cannot fail. Daniel 11 and 32 helps push us to understand the importance of having a God conscience. The latter part of verse 32 says, but the people that do know their God, so I have to have a relationship with him. You got it? I can't just make him Savior, but I need to make him the Lord of my life. For the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits, all right? And so I have to know God, and as I develop my relationship with God little by little, I begin to learn them more and more. As I get on the prayer line at 7 a.m. every morning, I begin to learn them more and more. As I do my devotions, I begin to learn them a little bit more and more. As he begins to show up in my life, it increases my faith, and I begin to learn about him a little bit more and more. And one thing on Tuesday night, we had our Bible study, and the spirit of prayer was just on me, and I was just praying. And, you know, a few people say, you know, I really like when you pray the names of God, but I don't want to be the only one praying the names of God. You have to pray the names of God. And one thing that the Bible says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so anytime that I go to prayer, the first thing I do is I thank him for the blood of Jesus. I ask him to forgive me for all my sins, wash me and cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb, and watch this. And then I pray the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. You got it? And declare who he is in my life and declare how great and how mighty he is, because when I declare how great and how mighty he is, that's when his anointing shows up. And then I go into the prayer of consecration, or the prayer of petition. And when I need to ask God, God's not mad about you asking things from him, but make sure when you go to him the right way. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. And let's use it in the natural. man, where's the time go? In the natural, for those of you that have children, you don't want your children just to love you for what you can do for them. Come on, somebody. You don't want them to always come, Mama, can I have? Mama, can I have? Sometimes you want them to say, Mama, thank you. You got it? Mama, I love you. You got it? Am I right about it? Or Daddy, you understand? And so it's the same way. And so, but when I pray the prayer of thanksgiving, I declare that he's Jehovah Jireh, and that is the Lord that will provide. And I begin to go, and Father, I thank you how you have been a great provider, and you've always provided, and you will continue to provide. Nobody can provide for my life and my family like you do. Nobody can provide for Without Limits Christian Center like you do. And so I do that. And then I say, Father, I thank you for being Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rofika. You are my healer. And I thank you for healing in my body, in my family's body, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. You got it. And I go down the list and I pray for me, Kante, Jay, and Hannah. Then I pray for my entire family. And then I pray for my church family. You got it? If there's anybody, you know, sometimes I have people that are going through certain things. I have them specifically on my prayer request. So I cover that. And then I say, Father, I thank you, Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. So regardless of what's going on, I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then I begin to talk about that. And then I say, you are Jehovah Shammah. You are the Lord who is present. You are always with me, so I'm never alone. Your presence is always with me. And if your presence is always with me, your peace is always with me. Your love is always with me. Your grace is always with me. Your mercy is always. Then I say, he is Jehovah Gamola. You know, this year he said that part of it is going to be recompense. You are the God that pays back. You're going to give me double for my trouble, right? And then I talk about how he's El Elyon. He is the Most High God. That's translated as he's the Most High God, and he has the final say in your life. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says. God has the final say. You got it? And watch this. And whose report are you going to believe? Let's go home. We're going to believe the report of the Lord. So it doesn't matter what it looks like in my last 20 seconds. I'm doing good. Doesn't matter what it feels like. I'm going to have a God conscience. Then number two, I'm going to have a God closeness. That I'm never going to live my life where Jesus is not in reach. Peter is on the water walking to Jesus. He takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at he becomes distracted with the wind, and the Bible says he begins to sink. But thank God Jesus was in reach. Jesus just stretched out and picked him right up. And so always live your life where there's a God close. Talk to Jesus every day. Pray every day. I'm not talking about being super spiritual. Because this is not about religion. This is about having a relationship with him. So I've got to have a God conscious, a God closeness. And then I just have to have a God commitment. There must be a mindset that God must be in the equation in every decision that I make. So I don't make any decision without God in the equation. I don't make a financial decision. You got it? I don't make a big life move. I don't do anything without going to God, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. And he is going to make sure, if I commit my life to him, that he's going to take care of everything for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying. Father, we thank you for your word. It's not void of power, and it accomplishes those things that you set it out to do. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as we close, I thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love that is evident in every one of our lives. Father, I thank you that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, that we are destined to win. I thank you on this week for your supernatural power being at work in the lives of the people, and we might see those God did it moments. And so be glorified today. That is our prayer. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand? Praise all over the building.